Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Residue is not just another true crime podcast, but a necessary tool for those who want to understand the dangers lurking in the real world. Residue is created, hosted, edited, researched, and produced by me, Chrissy Champagne. And before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to be a little cringe. I wanted to be a little gin blossomy for you guys and remind you that anywhere you go, you should follow me now. I'm so sorry. No, you know, that's stuck in your head and you're not going to forget to follow me. Thank you. And while you guys are at it, you can follow me on Instagram at Residue Podcast, TikTok at Residue, a true crime podcast, or Chrissy Champagne Retro Residue, where we'll discuss some Gen X, 80s nostalgia type of shit. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast. And do not forget to leave a 5-star review. Oh my God, I've gotten some amazing 5-star reviews lately. I swear to God, they make my entire day, my entire year. You guys rule. Thank you so much. And before we get started, remember, as always, listener discretion is advised. Simonette Sissy Mapes was born on September 25th, 1982 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But her roots never stayed in one place for long. As the daughter of a U.S. Air Force member, her childhood was marked by constant moves from New Mexico to Staten Island, then to Florida, and back again to Brooklyn. And despite the turbulence of relocation, Simonette thrived. She graduated from Fort Hamilton High School and later earned both her bachelor's and master's degree in education from the College of Staten Island. It wasn't just a career choice that Simonette chose. This was her calling. She poured herself into her work at the School for Classics in Brooklyn, where she taught history. Her classroom was a sanctuary for kids growing up amid violence and instability. She started a girls' leadership club and founded the Fairy Godmothers Project, giving prom dresses to students who couldn't afford them. She even paid for graduation caps and gowns out of her own pocket. Simonette was a Disney girl, and she believed in magic. And she didn't just believe in it, she wanted to make it real for everyone around her. In 2009, Simonette settled in New Springville and married Jonathan Krupe, a fellow teacher she had helped get hired at her school. To the outside world, they were the perfect couple. Two educators, they were both passionate about helping the youth, they shared annual summer trips to Disney World, and they dreamed of starting a family. Her family loved him. Simonette's mother, Teresa, would often tell people, "I couldn't buy a better son-in-law." But under the surface, things weren't as perfect as they seemed. July 5th, 2012, this is just days before the couple's 5th wedding anniversary. It's around 2:30 p.m. and a panicked Jonathan Krupe called 911. Jonathan is freaking out outside of his condo. His neighbors can see him. He's got his cell phone. He's screaming, "I just came home. My wife is dead. Oh my God. I think my house was robbed." And when police arrived at the Staten Island condo, they found Simonette face down in a pool of her own blood. She had been brutally, excessively stabbed. There were no bullet holes. There were no shell casings on the scene. There were drawers ransacked. There were clothes everywhere. It was pure chaos. The officers on scene notice that nothing is stolen from the apartment. Something just doesn't seem right. The only thing that seemed odd was that the sliding glass door was left ajar. There was no forced entry. All the valuables were still there, cash, jewelry, Simonette's engagement ring. Everything remained untouched. It didn't look like a robbery. It just looked like a mess. And then the murder scene looked like rage, just a rage killing. Arriving on scene, first things first, detectives want to talk to Jonathan, and he tells them that he left the condo at 7:30 a.m. because it's only a few days before their anniversary, so he wanted to get out, run some errands, he wanted to pick up some Broadway tickets as a surprise for a romantic night for the two. He says when he left, he first went to the school where the couple both teach, and they decided that for this summer, they were going to start teaching some summer classes to pick up some extra money. So Jonathan went to the school to grab some books that the two of them would need. Next thing he did, he went and got his car inspected. Then he stopped at a sneaker store because Jonathan was one of those guys that sold really expensive, pricey designer sneakers on the internet. So he had this side business and he had sneakers that would go for like $1,000, $2,000 a piece. So he stops at the sneaker store. Then finally, he wants to make a quick trip to Home Depot because Simonette had been wanting to paint their bathroom. And he thought, what a nice gesture for our anniversary. I'll go pick up some paint and then the two of us can have a nice little side project this summer. But he texted her because he didn't really know what color paint she wanted and she never texted back. So by the time he pulled into the Home Depot parking lot, he just reversed, left, and went back home. He never went inside of the store. And detectives are, of course, going to check out every single one of those alibis, and surveillance backed up his timeline. Everything seemed to check out. I mean, there was footage from the school, there was a time-stamped receipt from the inspection, and there was some footage from the sneaker shop, but, you know, Jonathan never went into Home Depot, so they didn't even need footage from there, so seems good. But, you know, just because this timeline is checking out, Jonathan's acting a little strange, and there were some other things that were kind of throwing off the vibe, like the fact that if this was an attempted robbery, then why are all of Jonathan's designer sneakers still in the house? I mean, that man was selling $3,000 sneakers. He had piles of them in his home. Nothing was taken. And then there was the fact that detectives said that Jonathan was just acting numb. Just numb. There was like no emotion coming from this man. Then they talk to the family and they learn that Jonathan's acting weird. The day after the murder, the entire family's gathered together, Simonette's family and Jonathan. And Simonette's family is in just complete shock. They are just crying. They're sitting together. They are just grieving with each other, and they say that Jonathan walks in the room and just says, "When are we eating? I'm starving." And this whole family is looking at each other like, "I can't eat a fucking thing. Are you kidding me right now, Jonathan?" And he's basically just pestering everyone for food while they're all crying. Then he says that he wants to sleep at his in-law's house. He doesn't want to go home. But Simonette's brother is... he's getting a weird feeling. He's always had a little bit of a weird vibe with Jonathan. And he says that he was scared for his parents. He didn't want Jonathan sleeping in their home. He even went up to them and said, "I'm going to need you to lock your bedroom door if you let him stay here tonight." And they did. And Jonathan slept on the couch. But it was little things like this that police were like, "You know what? Something seems off with this guy." And the cracks are beginning to show. But police still have other leads. I mean, they have DNA from the sliding glass door. They have DNA from all of the drawers being taken out. And they sent all of this to the labs. So they're still waiting on that to come back. And these detectives are leaving no stone unturned. Is that the saying, no stone unturned? They're even speaking to the kids from the school. And they're finding out some really strange information that there was a day about a week before Simonette was murdered that her and Jonathan were leaving the school and they just so happened to get caught in the crossfires of a gang shooting. And the two of them ended up running behind a car and hiding. They got caught in between these gunshots that were going back and forth, and this freaked Simonette out, obviously. She ended up going to her Facebook page and posting about this, and this was on June 28th, 2012.
Croupy and I survived a shootout today. Thank God we are okay. I'm sure over summer school we'll find out what this fighting was about. The Cypress Hill projects are no joke. To all the wannabe gangsters of Staten Island who say they are from Brooklyn but really aren't, you should be grateful for what you have. You should stop trying to live a lifestyle that you will never understand.
Okay, so police see this Facebook post and they hear this about the shootout and they are like, okay, wait. Could it have been gang-related retaliation? Simonette had taught many kids from violent neighborhoods, including Bloods and Crips. But at her funeral, more than 50 gang members attended. One of the most high-ranking Bloods went up to Simonette's mother and told her, "We are calling a truce for the day. The Bloods and the Crips are coming together for one day, and this is for Mommy Mapes." All of her students called her Mommy Mapes, and there were at least 50 gang members at her funeral. So police are thinking, okay, no, there's no way that this murder was gang-related. We have to start looking at different avenues. And when the DNA comes back from the sliding glass door, they get the ID that there is an unknown female DNA on that door, along with Jonathan's. When investigators start searching Simonette's cell phone, they find out that there is someone in her contacts under the name Woman. So could this woman in Simonette's contacts be the woman who left DNA on that sliding glass door? This phone number under the name Woman is traced back to an escort service. And this woman is known as Ms. Pumpkin. Ms. Pumpkin had an ad on an adult escort service page in the classifieds. And her details were listed as Ms. Pumpkin, age 23, ethnicity black, gender female, body type curvy, breast cup C, piercings none. So the police call this number and they book a date with Ms. Pumpkin. And they do this so that they can get her to a hotel room and they can get her to start opening up about Jonathan. Now, let me tell you something. Ms. Pumpkin cost $300 an hour. So detectives call her. She comes over thinking that this is just a date with a John at a hotel. And when detectives get her into the room, they start questioning her. And you know, she doesn't want to talk at first, but listen, Ms. Pumpkin is there for prostitution and she knows that this is illegal. So detectives give her an ultimatum. It's either you talk or you go down to the jailhouse. So Ms. Pumpkin starts talking. And at first she's like, listen, I don't know who Simonette is. I've never even heard that name. And then they ask her if she knows Jonathan. And she's like, I don't know anyone named Jonathan, I swear. So instead they start just describing Jonathan to Ms. Pumpkin. And when they say that he's a school teacher, she's like, wait, I do date a school teacher. I've been dating him for the past 2 years, maybe a little more. But that guy doesn't go by the name Jonathan. He goes by the name Mike. So Jonathan Krupe, alias Mike, has been dating Ms. Pumpkin for 2 years. 2 fucking years. This dude's a school teacher. $300 an hour. Whew. Okay, so Ms. Pumpkin also tells detectives that on the day of Simonette's murder, now she doesn't know it's the day of Simonette's murder. She just knows that on this day, Jonathan called her from a completely different number than he usually calls from. Now, Jonathan was the kind of guy, she said, that he didn't just randomly, spontaneously book a date. He booked dates in advance. So this was strange. Different number, and it was an urgent date. He was urgently begging for her to meet him at the hotel. So that Home Depot trip that Jonathan said he went to buy his wife some paint so they could do a project together, no, that was a $300 Ms. Pumpkin quickie. Police also learned that Ms. Pumpkin used to go to Jonathan's condo for hookups. So they ask her for a DNA swab, and she does. And this DNA swab matches what they found on the sliding glass door. And police don't believe that Ms. Pumpkin had anything to do with the murder. They don't believe that she was in the house helping Jonathan. But they do believe that after that Home Depot trip, Jonathan transferred Ms. Pumpkin's DNA onto the sliding glass door. It's just think about how he did that, okay? There you go. And just to piss you off a little more, the medical examiner comes back and says, hey, guess what? I know what the time of death was. It was 7:30 a.m. And remember Jonathan said, I left the house at 7:30 a.m. and ran a bunch of errands. And one of those errands was hooking up with an escort and then coming home with his wife's dead body laying in the condo and then transferring this escort's DNA all over the house. That man paid an escort $300 to have a quickie when he knew that he just murdered his wife and her body was just laying in their home. And you know what? I feel bad for Ms. Pumpkin too. She gets wrapped up in all this shit. This guy, I hate this guy. Yeah, and let's shit on Jonathan some more because he fucking deserves it. So Jonathan also was lying to his wife for I don't even know how long. So here's the deal. When you're a teacher at the school that they both work at, they need you to have a master's degree. So yeah, Jonathan and Simonette were like, cool, we'll just start taking classes to get our master's degree. I'm telling you, like, these classes cost $25,000. So Jonathan is supposed to be going to these classes, same as Simonette. She gets her degree, she passes, she's able to keep her job. He does not pass. He's failing out. He's not telling his wife that he's not going to class. He's wasting their money. If he doesn't pass these classes, he doesn't have a job. And these classes already cost them $50,000 combined for both of them going. So Jonathan's keeping this secret from Simonette. Where do you think all Jonathan's money was going? It was going to Ms. Pumpkin. So obviously, Simonette found this out because she had Ms. Pumpkin's phone number in her phone. So Simonette's putting the pieces together. She's wondering what's going on. You know, she's not fucking stupid. So what police think happened is Simonette figured everything out. She contacted Jonathan the night before her murder, and she told him she needed him to come home. She needed to have a talk with him. He knew what was going down, and he didn't want to fess up to everything he's been doing. Simonette calls her mother. She calls her crying hysterically, telling her everything Jonathan has been doing and lying about. And her mother is saying, Simonette, come home. Just leave, pack your stuff, just come home. But she says, listen, Mom, I'm going to take care of it. I will call you tomorrow. I will be ending this marriage. And that was the last time that Simonette's mother, Teresa, ever spoke to her. This is a lot of evidence that police can bring to arrest Jonathan, but they need something solid. So they start looking at all of that surveillance footage again, and they're noticing that Jonathan is always carrying around this green sort of backpack. And he had it in the school surveillance. He had it at the inspection place. He had it at the sneaker place. And then they think, oh my God, you know what? I actually saw that green bag at the house. So they go back to the crime scene and they're looking around and they notice that his green book bag is in this closet that's like all the way in the back of the house and it's behind a door. Okay, and now this might seem insignificant, but if Jonathan arrived home after doing all these errands with the green backpack on, that would have meant that he walked back into the house, saw his wife's dead body covered in blood. He would have had to step over his wife's dead body to get into that room to place the book bag in the closet. Nobody would do that. And you know who would do that? Somebody who already murdered their wife before they left to go run these fake errands that were going to be caught on surveillance camera. So police go back to the condo, they recover the green bag, and inside they find a laptop. It's Jonathan's laptop. Oh, and guess what that laptop is full of? That is right, you guessed it, porn escort ads. That's it. That man spent his entire life looking at porn and looking up escorts. Oh, wait, when he wasn't doing that, he was searching things such as how to slit a throat, how to break a neck, how to clean a crime scene. But just calm down because Jonathan had an answer for police. And this might be my favorite defense ever. So Jonathan, you know, he's a teacher. He was actually teaching Shakespeare to his class and he was teaching Macbeth. And he needed to know how to break a neck and how to clean a crime scene because it's not, you can't really teach kids about Shakespeare unless you really know the backstory, how to do things like break a neck and clean a crime scene. How did he even think of that? On November 13th, 2012, Jonathan Krupe is arrested and charged with the murder of Simonette Mapes. During his trial, Jonathan Krupe's lawyers just kept pushing the robbery theory and saying that the medical examiner got the time of death wrong. He did not do this. They kept saying that the police aren't looking for the real killer. They are still out there. But obviously the evidence said otherwise. And Ms. Pumpkin even took the stand. They said that Ms. Pumpkin was articulate, calm, confident, and she just dismantled his entire alibi. The jury took less than 2 hours to come back and say, Jonathan Krupe is guilty and sentenced to 25 years to life. It was concluded that Jonathan likely killed Simonette in her fit of rage after she confronted him with questions about his behavior. Today, in 2025, Jonathan Krupe is 43 years old and he remains incarcerated at the Maximum Security Clinton Correctional Facility in Dannemora, New York. And if you've listened to Residue from the beginning, you know that he is in there with John Jamelski. And I just wanted to add in that I found an article about the fact that Jonathan Krupe had a dating profile while he was in jail. Now, this was about a couple years ago. I don't know if he still has the dating profile, but Teresa Mapes, Simonette's mother, spoke with NBC4, and she told them that Jonathan had a dating profile and that on it he wrote, "No baby mama drama." And Teresa said it was just the way that he wrote that, like it was an attack on the family. That's how it felt to the family. Like he hasn't done enough. He has to dig into them even more by writing Jonathan Krupe, single, no baby mama drama. What a dick. As I'm about to record the end of this episode, it just started pouring. Like rain is just pelting the windows and I don't know, maybe it's me, but sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe Simonette's listening and she's here with me. And to end this episode, I wanted to say that Simonette was this fairy goddess type of woman. She believed in angels and dreams and goodness, and she was a light in dark places, in her classroom, in her community, in her family. Simonette was a light, and her mother said it best. She said she was an amazing soul. She was a giver, a dreamer. And I have to say that Simonette deserved her fairy tale ending. I'll see you next week. Stay safe and stay paranoid. Stay paranoid.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.